And we're back here on Unusual Sources, 93.3 CFMU FM, broadcasting to Hamilton at 93.3 on the FM dial and the rest of the world via our live streaming website at cfmu.ca. And now I am back with Rania. She's operating under a pseudonym for safety and security reasons. She's a spokesperson for McMaster Apartheid Divest, or MACAD, which can also be found on Instagram and Linktree. So, Rania, thanks again for joining us today.
Of course, Brandon. Thank you so much for following up with me again.
Well, it was really illuminating speaking with you last time, and there's so much interest now in these encampments. CHCH has done a number of stories on it, and all of these encampments are capturing everyone's attention. So, I mean, there's so many questions one could ask, I suppose, but you are in conversation with many people involved in this. So I'm just wondering, can you maybe help explain to us what it's like at the encampment right now or in the past few days? You know, just how are people feeling from what you've heard and spoken with others? And, you know, is it tense or relaxed? What's the atmosphere there?
Of course, yeah. So we've had the encampment at McMaster for about 10 days now. And so far, the numbers have been growing. McMaster is definitely a tighter, more intimate, smaller campus. So the numbers are not as big as University of Toronto or McGill, for example. But I have heard from a few students as I was on site saying that it definitely felt more homey, and it felt more it felt a lot more relaxed. And we don't tend to have a lot of I want to say loud, quote unquote, protests, in the sense that we have a daily schedule where we have just a very relaxed, laid back activities during the day. And Saturday was an exception. That was our Nakba rally. It took place on Saturday morning. And overall, when you're at the encampment at McMaster, it's very speaker focused. We have a lot of, so we start the morning with morning assembly. We have updates, and we say updates of what's been going on in Gaza. And then we have some speakers come in. We have a faculty member that comes in every day. It could be different each day. It's not the same professor. We also have daily teach-ins. We have activities such as chalk painting, book clubs, and a lot of educational and relaxed, laid-back activities that take place at our campus.
You mentioned that you have a faculty member dropping by daily. It's not the same faculty member every time, as you said. That's very interesting. Does that mean, is that representing the McMaster faculty against apartheid?
Definitely, yes. We've had Dr. Yasser Hadara. He's been speaking at our rallies and at our, he's been the main faculty presence since the beginning of the encampment. However, we also have had lots of different faculty speakers coming out, especially since we've been the Faculty for Palestine at McMaster. It's the Instagram account is up and running, and we've had different professors from different departments, such as economics, Department of Medicine. They've been coming out, and they contact us and let us know if they'd want to speak, or we request their presence as well. So definitely lots of faculty members, they're getting the confidence to come out and support us and more openly as well.
And as you mentioned, they do have an Instagram page now, Faculty for Palestine. So people should check that out. I know there's probably a Ontario-wide one, but there's also a McMaster-specific Faculty for Palestine as well.
Yes, exactly. The Instagram handle is F4P_McMaster. F4P_McMaster. That's our specific McMaster-based Faculty for Palestine.
Well, that's handy. I've been on the encampment about three times now, and you're right. It's homey in the sense that it feels comfortable, somewhat lived in, but it's clean, it's orderly, it's relatively quiet when there's no activities. In fact, it's very quiet. So it was a nice place to visit. Maybe it's a nice place to live there. I just hope you guys have enough sandbags now, because I know the Hamilton Coalition to Stop the War and other groups were delivering sand and sandbags, and it was helpful. But last time I was there, that tarpaulin you guys use as a stage was still blowing around a bit. So
yeah, definitely the wind, we're still trying to get accustomed to the windy conditions, but we've had a lot of support from the community to help, especially from Hamilton Coalition to Stop the War, for like sandbags and other supplies to really hold things down, especially in these windy days.
Yeah, and people should be checking that Linktree regularly to see what new supplies are needed. I understand that the information changes on a regular basis. You had mentioned Nakba rally, and I think that's what I had been curious about and what others might want to know about too. The Hamilton Coalition to Stop the War actually advertised something that it saw on the Instagram page for MACAD, which was an emergency rally that was announced, you know, Friday or early on Saturday for about 11:30 a.m. on the Saturday. And yeah, it was an emergency rally. Some of us managed to make it there from community organizations, and there was messaging about it on Instagram and so on. So this emergency rally, was that the Nakba rally?
Yes, the emergency rally that was this past Saturday was the Nakba rally, yes.
Yeah, people in the community were interested about that. They weren't sure what exactly was going to happen that day, but it turns out, yes, that was one of the more active and noisy times, which was a good thing because you wanted to get attention. It's my understanding from the speeches that were given and from the rallying that one of the goals was to reach the attention of the McMaster University administration, because it doesn't look like they're investigating their relationship to apartheid and divestment in a timely fashion. Is that right?
Exactly, yes. The update that I got from the negotiations team is that they did set up a meeting with the Dean of Student Affairs. So the meetings have started, and the administration has said that they have been investigating the ties with Israeli universities, but they are, again, using delaying tactics. And there was a press statement that was released on Thursday. If you want, I could read that out on behalf of the negotiations teams, if there's time.
Yes,
for that.
Please do.
Of course. Yeah, for sure. So I'll just read it from the middle. So what the negotiations team said to the public was, the reason students came together to hold this encampment is that after 7 months of conversation and dialogue, there were no practical steps forthcoming. Our demands are for the university to disclose, divest, boycott, and declare. We are disappointed with the university's characterization of our efforts. We have always been, and we continue to be, committed to dialogue. We do not feel that we have been confrontational, nor do we believe in escalation for the sake of escalation. We are disappointed that the university's statements stigmatize and marginalize students, contrary to earlier messaging from the university about openness to dialogue, including specifically acknowledging the conscientious approach of SPHR, aka Solidarity for Palestinian Human Rights, and specifically requesting that SPHR be the spokesperson for the encampment. We remain ready to meet with the university at any time.
Wow. Okay. So this was a goal behind this Saturday rally. Now, you mentioned you actually managed to achieve a decent turnout for that. You know, approximately, did you say 100, 150 people came out?
Yeah. So there were about 150 attendees, and there were about 60 tents. The reason why the attendance was also a lot larger was because on Saturday it was actually May at Mac, which is an event that takes place for any new students that are joining McMaster this coming fall. So the numbers were definitely bigger. There was a lot more attention because of that day and the events that were taking place. And as you mentioned, the goal was again to reach the attention of or put more pressure on the university administration to address their concerns.
Yes, you must have gotten a lot of attention. I'm thinking here, this was also Nakba Day. So I guess the speeches and rallying also addressed that issue as well.
Yes, exactly. We had Sarah Chama, Rabbi David from Independent Jewish Voices. Our faculty presence was there again, Dr. Hadara. And we also had the former president of Local 1005 United Steelworkers in Hamilton, Rolf Gerstenberger, I believe, if I'm not mispronouncing.
That's right. He's a longtime anti-war activist. He gave a speech on that basis. Rolf has been in the anti-war movement and pro-Palestine movement for decades.
Exactly. Yes. So he was there as well. Matthew Green as well, alongside Sarah Chama.
Yes, lots of great photos were taken at the rally. I guess that brings us to the question, I mean, how do you know if McMaster University is listening? Do you have some way of assessing this?
Yes, so the negotiations team is in communication via email with the university administration. So the Dean of Student Affairs has reached out to us, and there have been efforts to conduct meetings. The negotiations team is individuals from Solidarity for Palestinian Human Rights as well. And when they reached out to them, they said Susan Tai, the provost of McMaster, labeled one of the emails as confrontational, although all what they were really trying to do was that we just need them to speed things up and try to act faster and try not to delay the fact that students are waiting. And they need to give us a more substantial update back to us. And so the Dean of Student Affairs had said that they were going to deliver more of a substantial update this coming Thursday or Friday. So the most recent information is that the negotiations team should be meeting with them tomorrow morning. I believe at 9:30 a.m., but I'm not too sure. But there have been more efforts to get the administration to have more meetings. But their emphasis was that they kind of delayed out meeting with us due to one email that, again, they labeled was the administration labeled it as quote unquote confrontational, and that they did not think that it was a productive time for us to meet due to maybe they thought that it was not an appropriate time for a so-called collegial discussion. They released a statement on Daily News, the administration, saying that one of the emails or the efforts to communicate have been confrontational, but it was not our intention to be confrontational like that. We're being very firm with the way that we communicate to them, but also maintaining the commitment to respectful and constructive dialogue. So there's supposed to be more meetings later this coming week.
Well, you have to be coherent and you have to be consistent, and you're doing a good job of explaining this whole policy. And this is probably maybe something that is not really known at this time, but are you going to have to stage more creative actions if they're not listening?
Yes, definitely. As McMaster Apartheid Divest, we say on our Instagram consistently is that we're here to stay until our demands are met. And so far, we've just been waiting and making sure that the McMaster Students Union and any administration has the chance to come by and stop by the encampment as well. And as long as the meetings continue to go forth with the administration, as if there's no, I guess, tangible action or something with substance that they can give back to us, we will definitely have to, I guess, escalate or put more pressure, in the sense that we need to reinforce the message that until they give us something that we can actually be satisfied with, or aka when our demands are met, we'll continue to stay, and it'll be harder for them to kind of get rid of us, because they have to understand that we're definitely very serious and well equipped to continue staying for as long as it takes for them to listen to the demands.
Well, on a related note, when I was looking at the latest Instagram from MACAD, I saw that there had also been a Mother's Day vigil on Sunday.
Yes.
I think that was in the evening, and I think there's some photographs from it, but I was not able to attend. Do you know what happened there?
Yeah, so I was not also, I unfortunately would have loved to go to the encampment that day as well, but from my knowledge, there were the photos that I see, the students and whoever was attending the rally was each given a cue card or something to write on, and they were able to write anything to, I guess, honor the mothers, the martyrs and the mothers that were killed in Gaza. And so the premise of the event was just to commemorate the fact that the resilience and the strength that these mothers had or have still, as they continue to navigate their new circumstances in the genocide. A lot of them, of course, lost their loved ones and their kids and their widows. And so there were just a lot of sentimental and emotional letters that were written just to kind of showcase an intimate effort to kind of recognize the mothers that we didn't want them to be forgotten on Mother's Day. And so that day specifically and activity was dedicated to the mothers. Yeah, so we just kind of decorated it with some vigil candles. I would assume it was a very silent and reflective moment for those 2 hours that the event took place.
Well, this all reminds me, when I was visiting the encampment, a lot of the executive and administrative positions there were women, or were fulfilled by women. And maybe that's why the camp is so orderly and peaceful. I don't know. But it also made me wonder, you mentioned there's other encampments nearby in terms of Toronto, that's relatively close by. And I'm just thinking, and maybe this is not something that is known, but Is MACAD doing anything to help or interact with other student encampments in the country?
Definitely. While I may not have a clear answer as to any specific universities that we've been talking to, I know that University of Waterloo has just recently launched their encampment yesterday. And as a member of McMaster Apartheid Divest, I live closer to Waterloo. So one way that personally I would like to help other universities is, because I live closer to Waterloo, I would love to donate food to the encampment. And because McMaster Apartheid Divest has had, I guess, 10 days plus the weeks of planning that before launching the actual encampment, we have definitely a lot of advice and tips that we could give and universities that are newly launching their encampment. And as well, McMaster Apartheid Divest continuously checks the social media of McGill and University of Toronto to see what kind of activities they do, how are they conducting their encampment, and we tailor it to see fit and to see what capacity we have to hold kind of similar events as well. And yeah, it's definitely a collaborative effort. It's not just one university on its own. And the students have been very, very receptive to helping us out. A lot of alumni from other universities, if they live close by to McMaster as well, they help out in any way they can. So it's definitely a very collaborative effort from all sides.
Well, that brings me to my closing question. When you talk about helping the other encampments, of course, people want to help the McMaster encampment. When the Hamilton Coalition to Stop the War advertised the emergency rally and also provided information about the encampment to email lists and such, there were a number of emails that came back. People were inquiring how to help. A number of people wanted to know how to contribute. And if people want to contribute financially, I guess the main way you're doing so is through e-transfers and PayPal, is that right?
Yes, exactly. If you go to our McMaster Apartheid Divest Instagram, there's a link tree. And in the link of our bio, there should be three options. There's PayPal donations, meal signups, and you can see exactly what needs to be donated, as mentioned previously in the interview as well. There's specific needs for food, any supplies that are not related to food, that's all listed there on our signup sheet. And so, yeah, people in the community are more than welcome to donate whatever they can. And we definitely appreciate every single contribution.
And yeah, this might be a bit esoteric, but if somebody didn't have PayPal, is there still a way they could donate?
Yes. So although McMaster Solidarity for Palestinian Human Rights, SPHR, they're not the lead organizers of the encampment, they've been working with McMaster for the past 7 months as well. And McMaster Apartheid Divest collaborates with them on social media with every post as well. There is an e-transfer that people can use. It's called sphr@mcmaster.ca, sphr@mcmaster.ca. And any monetary donations can be sent to that email or also PayPal. So it's definitely very flexible both ways. If people don't have PayPal, they can donate to SPHR, and SPHR will donate that money to McMaster Apartheid Divest. And so all of that can get coordinated. Those options are both available.
Well, that's actually very handy. You said that was sphr@mcmaster.ca.
Yes. So that will be the e-transfer. Yes.
There were actually questions about that. It turns out not everybody had PayPal, so they were asking. So mm-hmm. Good to know that for the future. Mm-hmm. So this is very helpful. And as I said, this program would like to keep track of the encampment on a regular basis, interviewing people from it and providing near weekly updates. So we really appreciate that you're able to give the time to do this and that you're catching up and checking in with everyone on this. And it really makes one proud to be an alumnus of McMaster. There are many people who are proud of the work that's being done by the students, the faculty, and the unions on the campus. So on behalf of all of them, I wanted to say thank you.
Of course. And thank you so much, Brendan, for continuing to follow up with us. And just as much as we're keeping up with the encampment and continuing to have it occur each day, have it happen on a safe and peaceful basis, we genuinely appreciate the coverage and being able to really have a controlled and controlled media narrative and be able to give the most accurate information out there possible. So definitely thanks to you as well.
Oh, thank you.